Welcome to Living Life in the Anne, for the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I am your host, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes, your best life transformation strategist. I help women to get everything they desire and deserve in life by equipping them with powerful strategies for immediate implementation to achieve fulfillment. Because life is too long to live unfulfilled. It's time. Girl, it's time. It's time for you to get everything you desire and deserve. It's time for you to live your life on purpose and to live a life of fulfillment, meaning, and joy. It's time. It's time for you to walk boldly in the power of your decisions. Because girl, if you're going to be in this world, you need to be fulfilled in this life. Life is too long to live unfulfilled. Join me for another episode of Living Life in the End, where you learn how to achieve fulfillment and commit to completing all the desires of your heart. Hey, it's time. It's time for another installation of Conversations, Libations, and Revelations. Real talk for real life. How can we be fulfilled if we can't be for real? So listen in for this great conversation with purpose with my girlfriend and our favorite grown woman beverage. Get your favorite libation together and join us for this great conversation and the revelations that unfold. It's about to get real. I am so excited about my guest today. She is none other than my good girlfriend, Jocelyn Lane. Welcome, Jocelyn. Welcome to Living Life in the End.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about being on today.
I am so excited about you being here as well. And girlfriends, for those of you who are listening, we are in for a treat. Before we get into this great conversation with a purpose, let me tell you a little bit about my girl, Jocelyn Gavin Lane. Because I just call her Jocelyn, but her real name is Jocelyn Gavin Lane, because you know she about all that. Jocelyn is an awesome visionary, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and licensed clinical therapist. And she is on a mission to uplift, inspire, and be a change agent, not only for her community, but for the world. She heralds from Gulfport, Mississippi, where she has her counseling service, Premier Professional Counseling Services, and she's the founder of the nonprofit Pink Lotus Project. I could go on and on about the awesome accomplishments that she has, but just let me know that your girl, Jocelyn Gavin Lane, is just awesome. She's an author, an entrepreneur, and she is doing big things, and she is about to introduce a podcast herself. She's all about helping her bag and helping others to get their bags as well. So, Jocelyn, welcome again. And of course, you know what I want to know. What you drinking?
Well, you know I'm drinking my fave. You know my fave. I'm drinking my fave today. I have Patron tequila on ice with a splash of pineapple juice.
All right, girl. Well, I'm right there with you. I got my vodka neat. I have my grapefruit and rose vodka neat. I ain't even want no ice, no nothing. I just need to take it straight to the head, girl.
Okay. A splash.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you just need a splash, child. I ain't need nothing but the liquor. But anyway, you know, I want to, of course, hear from you. I've told everybody a little bit about who you are, the things you do, but I want to hear in your own words. I want to hear the who, the what, and the why. Who really is Jocelyn? What is it that you do, and why do you live your life in the end?
Well, Jocelyn is a healer and a helper of people. Jocelyn is a very empathetic person. Jocelyn is an entrepreneur. Jocelyn is a visionary. And Jocelyn is a connector. So So I think all of those words kind of gives you a good idea of who I am. I'm a mother. I think that's my favorite job of all. I'm a mother. And so I do that. So the what, right? So that's who I am. That's who I feel like I am.
Yes, I would agree.
That's who I feel like I am, at least. What I do. Okay, so I help people heal. And I think that has been a calling, a divine calling, if I may say so. I think it's a divine calling, because I will get the question all the time, you know, how do you listen to people for 8 hours a day and then you go home? And I have acquired skills to be able to listen to people and to be able to leave the issues at the office, because I have to go home to a daughter. And have good conversations that are not riddled with what I've heard all day. So I would say that what I do has to be a divine calling to be able to do it. So what I do is help people. I enjoy seeing people leave my office and never having to come back. That's a great thing for me. When they're able to graduate from therapy, and they no longer need my help to help them figure out how they can complete a journey of healing in a good way. And that they can come out, you know, on the other side of issues, a better person, a stronger person, a person more in tune with themselves, their family, and other things that they feel that, you know, that they feel that are important to them. So that's what I do. Along with my heart, my love, Pink Lotus. I started Pink Lotus in 2013 as really just a way of giving back to girls and giving things that I wanted and needed as a teenager, as a adolescent. I had lots of family support. I tell people that I have a huge family on my maternal and my paternal side. And what I didn't have, I mean, you know, what I didn't lack was people pumping me up. You know, I always had that. Yes. But in my small town, I did not see, you know, women doctors, in particular, African-American women doctors and lawyers. And so I wanted to be able to provide mentorship and provide help for girls who needed what I needed when I was that age. So that is the premise behind Pink Lotus. And we've been able to give over $15,000 to the Breast Cancer Fund here locally at Memorial Hospital. And we've been able to give thousands in scholarship for girls attending college that have matriculated through our mentorship program. So I'm really excited about that. That warms my heart. Anytime that we can give, lift some financial burden from parents for college, for supplies, for computers, laptops, whatever they may need to go to school and be successful, I am happy to do that. So that warms my heart. So that's kind of what I am. That's kind of what I do. And why. Why I do what I do is because I want people to know I was here. So for me, I want to leave a legacy for my daughter, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And I want people to know that I was here. I want to make an impact on this world. I don't want to go through taking. I want to be able to give something back. And I want people to know that I was here.
All right. And I tell you, people will definitely know that you were here. You have done so many great things. And it is only just beginning. So with that, I wanted to get into our conversation for today. And this Conversations, Libations, and Revelations episode is called Get Your Mind Snatched and Tight, Mental Wellness and the Path to Fulfillment. Because, you know, we are quick to invest in personal trainers, waist trainers, all kinds of things to get our bodies right when our minds just are messed up. And you know that I am on the path to fulfillment, and I desire for all the women I know and even those I don't know to get on the path to fulfillment along with me, because y'all know that I believe life is too long to be unfulfilled. And I think, you know, if we can invest in getting our bodies snatched and tight, then we need to invest in getting our minds snatched and tight. This is something that I believe is the beginning to our path to fulfillment, because we're not going to get very far if we are burdened down with trauma and stress and baggage. And sometimes it's just a lot of shit we need to get off our chests.
Absolutely.
Not with the T, our chests, so that we can be light and free. So with that, I just want to get it out there. Look here, girl, ain't nothing wrong with you. Going to therapy, it's nothing different than going to the doctor for a checkup. You know, we go for our well woman checkup every year. When we feel in just a little sniff or a little this or that, we'll go to the doctor. But you know what? When we are not feeling clear and light and free in our minds, we need to go get that shit checked out too. Mm-hmm. So that's where I want to start. You know, you mentioned that, of course, you are put here to help people to heal. And I know that, of course, you are seeing patients and you help women and others, not just working with women, but you help people every day. What about the people who are not coming to you or any other therapist? If you could just have a PSA or a conversation with them about why they need to see you or see somebody else, what would you say?
I would say simply, there is no health without mental health. Mm.
Right.
And I want to put it into, you know, terms that I saw when I was growing up. You know, when someone's mind is not right, nothing else about them is right. Their hygiene, they can't, you know, function at work. Your mind controls everything about you. Mm. And just like your body needs a physical checkup every year, so does your mind. You know, it's a muscle. It needs refreshing. It needs self-care. It needs, you know, to feel like it is a part of who you are. And so you can't go through life neglecting your mind and expecting the rest of you to be able to function well. Because if your mind is not right, nothing else is right.
Right. You know, you say like your mental health is your health, you know, and I was just thinking about how oftentimes we stigmatize mental health and we tell people, you know, you just need to be strong, or we tell them, child, you need to take it to Jesus. You need to pray. Yeah, you need to be pray. You need to pray. You need Jesus too. But, you know, I think about if we were sitting around with a girlfriend and she came to us and said she was having a pain somewhere, or she was having abnormal bleeding, or she thought she had cancer, we would not tell her, girl, you just need to be strong and pray. We wouldn't. We would tell her with the quickness, girl, you need to get yourself to a doctor. And we need to get to the point, and I'm going to say especially Black women, because, you know, right. I'm Black, you Black, you know. This is for all women, but I'm just going to talk about us for just a moment. Because I happened to see this meme on Facebook that I've seen it a couple of times, but it popped up today. And it's the image of a Black woman in the water, and she looks like she's about to drown. And the first caption is, Black women dealing with trauma and suffering. You know, she's waving her arms, I need help. Society reaches out their hand to her, and then instead of pulling her out the water, they give her a high five and say, you so strong, and then she goes underwater.
Yeah.
And, you know, far too often we think that, you know, we just need to be strong. We need to suck it up. We need to do all these things instead of getting help. And I know I am just as guilty of that, because I take pride in being strong. I'm a strong woman. I'm a strong Black woman. But even the strong need reinforcement. you know, and it's something that I think we've got to get over and get past and embrace needing help and going to get it and not thinking that we need to suck it up and deal with it all by ourselves. You know, when you're among your girlfriends or just even among women in your community and maybe in, even in your family, how do you help them to overcome this myth of being strong all the time?
So I'm so glad that you mentioned this. Like, I am so glad that you brought this up in particular, because I tell people all the time, your superpowers are killing you.
You know? Girl, at least say that again.
Everybody wants to be superwoman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I tell, you know, a lot of my my clients, like, you don't have to be superwoman. You have to be a real woman. Real women have to take a break. Mm-hmm. Real people have issues. Real people can't hold everything on their plate. They have to decide what they can and can't have on their plate at a particular time. So you don't want to be superwoman. You want to be a real woman. Mm. And yeah. I really feel like, you know, this myth that, you know, as much stuff or BS that you can put up with, the stronger you are. Ugh. You know, if I can put up with all of this trauma, all of this abuse, all of this, you know, internal feeling of low self-esteem, then I'm strong. I'm better. It makes me stronger, you know, and it happens to be quite the opposite, you know, but there is the societal pivot that, you know, the more that you put up with, the more that you can endure, then the stronger you are. Henceforth, you are a superwoman because you can put up with all of this stuff and you're still moving every day. But they don't know that you're, you know, you come home at 5 o'clock and you're going passing through your home and you're going straight to your bedroom and you're not getting out of the bed all night. You feed your kids fast food because you can't make yourself get out of the bed to cook dinner. You know, because you're that broken or that depressed or that anxious and things have gotten to a point that you can't function. You know, and we start to function like a robot. You know my body knows that I got to get up at 5:30. I have to go to work. But when that time is over, I'm done. You know, I'm going straight to my bed. I'm getting in my bed. I'm going to sleep. And I'm not getting up until, you know, the next day. And so I think we have to change the narrative about being a strong woman into being a real woman.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I in preparing for this and just thinking about, you know, what I felt women needed to hear and even what I need to hear myself, I'd written down the statement, you know, we need to stop normalizing suffering as a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
And we do that, you know, and it, you alluded to this, is that a lot of times we want to take on this belief that the more we put up with, the better we are. Mm-hmm. And we will wear it on our chest like the S for Superwoman.
Right.
You know, instead of an S, it's like, well, I'm going to say it's BS, because, you know, we will put up with other people's bullshit and wear it on our bodies like it's perfume and we really stinking, you know. So
I will tell you, that whole ride or die thing, like, I can't ride with you if it's costing me my mental health. I'm sorry.
No.
Can't be your ride or die chick if it's costing me my mental health.
Mm-mm. You know, I always say, I ain't riding and dying for nobody. Either we going to ride for life or I ain't getting in the car.
I ain't getting in. You know, it's just that whole thing about, you know, you are less than if you don't put up with things that you know are wrong, things that you know are not right, things that you know are, you know, are not becoming of a woman, not becoming of, you know, whatever type of woman you want to be, whether that's a proverb, you want to be a Proverbs 31 woman, or you want to be ratchet, or you want to be regular, or whatever that type of woman is that you want to be. You know that that's not, that doing these things and feeling this way is not right. But I think that we get so programmed that society tells us for so long that that's where, you know, that's where it is. You know, if you don't, if you're not putting up with this, if you're not doing this, then you, there must be something wrong with you, or you're not strong enough. Mm-hmm. So I got to put you on the shelf, and you know, maybe you need to go back and learn something because you're not strong enough. You know, if you don't, right. And it's a horrible space to be in when you feel that way.
It is, because you know, as I have begun this true commitment to fulfillment, I have really begun to think about what am I doing to block my own path, and just really thinking about just my whole mental wellness and how I have helped it and how I have hurt it. And I know just recently, you know, I started to kind of buckle under the weight of the death of a loved one. And honestly, the death of a loved one who caused a lot of hurt. And I'll tell you, you know, it's really hard to grieve someone who has hurt. And desiring to be strong for others when really I needed to be helped. I needed somebody to be strong for me. And rather than just basking in that and saying it to myself, I need somebody to be strong for me, I asked for help. And I literally asked, because I pray for my friends, I pray for my loved ones. And when somebody is going through something, I genuinely pray for them. A lot of times I pray with them right there. And that particular day, I needed somebody to pray for me. And instead of just wishing for it, I just asked. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I need you to pray for me today because I don't feel strong. And she did. She prayed for me, and it was just the most beautiful thing to acknowledge. I need somebody to be strong for me. And that doesn't make me bad.
Right. Right.
And I think a lot of times, you know, that's what we do. We think that being strong for others means never needing anyone to be strong for us, especially as mothers. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, you know, how often you have that issue, or how do you work through with your clients, even in getting them to just recognize that being strong for others also requires others to be strong for them.
Right. So you have to be in a space that you can allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to accept the help. Because a lot of times when you have been hurt, you've been through some trauma, a wall goes up. And so if no one has helped you to lower that wall, you know, it gets thicker every year. You know, every day, every situation that comes about that reminds you of this particular trauma, there's another wall that goes up. So allowing yourself to be vulnerable in the space to receive the help, I think is sometimes challenging because you are allowed, because you don't know how it's going to turn out. Okay, if I'm vulnerable, how do I know that this person is really going to take what I'm saying? They're going to take it to heart. They're going to help me to process it. They're going to help me to move past this. You don't know what they're going to do. And sometimes when you've been in traumatic spaces, you know, that wall is all you have to hold on to. That's the only protection you have. So asking someone to lower that and to be, you know, vulnerable for another person is a hard ask. And then sometimes people don't even know how to do that. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean be vulnerable?
Right.
What does that mean? So just kind of teaching them some techniques. And telling people you have to go at your own pace. You know, if something has happened to you, you know, we have this whole thing about forgiveness. And, you know, you got to forgive. You got to forgive if you want blessings. If you want this, you have to forgive. But we have to remember that we're imperfect people. And so forgiveness for me may not look like what forgiveness is for you. You know, so people move at their own pace with forgiveness.
Right.
And that's okay. And I may not forgive you. I may be able to still have Sunday dinner with you, but my heart may not be in a space to actually forgive. Mm. And so just kind of taking time and that's one step at a time, one situation at a time. Because you think about the years that it takes to for somebody to even get to the point where they ask for help. You know, usually these are childhood traumas, or they're traumas that have happened in your life that you don't want to talk about. People can be embarrassed about some things that have happened. And so it takes a minute to get there. And so, you know, just you have to be careful with your vulnerability, you know, and we have to nourish that as therapists. Like, everybody's not going to get to the point that you think that they need to be at immediately. Mm-hmm. I have a client, for example, who had some childhood sexual abuse, mm-hmm. and we met weekly for a year, and she was still not ready to say or to disclose this to her mother. Mm. Even after a year of, you know, I'm talking about 52 sessions of getting to the point that you can utter these words. Because not only does it require me to be vulnerable, then I have to, you know, I'm anticipating the reaction that you're going to have to me. And I don't know if I can handle that reaction. What happens if? Because sometimes when you're in the therapeutic process, that if is what stops you from moving forward. What happens if? And so getting to the point that you're okay with if it goes good, if it goes bad, if everybody finds out, I'm still going to be okay. And it takes time to get to that point.
Right.
It takes a lot of time.
Right. Because I know, you know, I always revert back to this saying, or reflect on this saying, you know, when I was going through my dissertation chair said to me, because, you know, I planned everything and I had a schedule when I wanted to be through with this thing. And of course, it was taking longer. And I expressed frustration about that. And he said to me, it takes the time it takes. And at first that pissed me off, because I'm like, well, I wanted to be over. But then I stopped for a moment to just embrace the beauty of that, to give myself the time it takes. And I think, you know, we need to recognize that healing's not on any timeline but its own. And it takes the time it takes. But we have to be willing to put in that time.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned, you know, trusting someone enough to be vulnerable. I thought that was a great segue into what I wanted to ask you about. And that is, you know, what role do our girlfriends play in this? Because I believe girlfriends, real good girlfriends, are just key to life. And I know that, of course, you know, when we get around the table and we have our real life conversations, libations, and revelations, you know, it is truly therapeutic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, is that enough? And should we rely on our girlfriends as the source of our healing? And how does that play into therapy? When do you need one over the other? Do you need both? What do you think about that?
Well, I think girlfriends definitely play a huge role in support. And I think that it's important to have support. But it's also important to have a professional relationship with someone, a therapeutic relationship with someone that you can process. Because my friends love me. Depending on how I'm feeling that day, they may or may not tell me that I'm wrong. Mm. You know, they may be the ride or die, you know. So the friendships can be of support. And I encourage that everybody needs a support system. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs someone that they can call and they can vent to. And your good girlfriend is going to come over with a bottle of wine, and she's going to allow you to cry, and she's going to allow you to, you know, do all of these things that are legal. And, you know, she's going to ride with you. You know, she's going to be that support. And everybody needs that. But you also need to be able to go in and have a conversation with someone about the stuff that you don't tell your girlfriend.
Right.
Or the stuff that your girlfriend doesn't have the capacity to help you work through.
Now, you hit the nail on the head right there, in that, you know, we need to recognize that not everybody has the capacity to help us with our healing. Because right. two broken folk can't help each other. Right. at some point, you know.
Get the word, baby, and we can ride and we can stuff up. I need to talk about childhood trauma, when I need to talk about, you know, improving my mental health, my friend is not going to be, because my friend loves me. That's mm-hmm. what I tell people. Your friend loves you. Your friend is not going to say anything that's good. She may tell you the truth, but your friend is not going to hurt you.
Right.
You know, so, and I would want to put my friend in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need someone who doesn't know you, someone who can be authentic and real with you on mm-hmm. a level that they're able to use some therapeutic skills to get you through the mm-hmm. other side. So when you mm-hmm. leave from with your friend, you just really feel it some way. You probably haven't processed it. You know, right. you just, you know, riled up. You ready to go bust the windows out of somebody's car. You ready to do whatever. You know, but you all haven't processed through that feeling. Okay, well, you feel like you want to bust the windows, but let's talk about what that really means.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a difference. And I encourage people to have a support system. But you also really have to have a good therapeutic relationship mm-hmm. with someone that can help you process. And you may not right. find the right person the first time.
Right.
And I think that sometimes people, I went to therapy, but I ain't like her. Okay, well, you didn't click with this person. It's like trying on a good pair of red bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find the right heel height that you can walk in.
Right.
Across the room. You know, so, because you're going to have to put those shoes on quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So you right. have to be able to work with that therapist. You have to respect her. She has to respect you. You have to trust her. And so that's a huge thing. So it's a process, but it's one that can be done.
Right, right. And, you know, I must digress for just 1 minute and just say to everybody, look here, let me just tell you something. I know Jasmine Sullivan and Carrie Underwood have romanticized busting up the windows of somebody's car. But let me just tell you, as an attorney, if you bust the windows out his car, you going to jail. Just want to say that. Just want to put that out there. Because I love those two songs from a music perspective. But I think they going to get a lot of us messed up because we think that that's what we need to do. But anyway, lest I digress, let me get back on point. You know, you talked about capacity to help. And I think that's something that, you know, as a girlfriend, as a ride for life, we need to recognize that we often don't really have the capacity to help our girlfriends in the way that they need. And we need to encourage them to get help from a professional. And we have to recognize when our own brokenness keeps us from being able to help. And I think about, you know, an instance that I had maybe about a year ago from this conversation. I was dealing with a family member who I call her a drama and trauma vortex. Bless her heart. She just has so many things going on all the time. And over the years, I have been a therapeutic sounding board, you know, tried to help where I could. But that particular day, I literally did not have the mental capacity to take in another piece of trauma, because mm-hmm. if I did, I felt I was going to break. And but I knew she needed somebody, she needed something, mm-hmm. but it wasn't me. And I had to take a moment and just say, I love you, I empathize with what you're going through right now, but I do not have the mental capacity to help you today. I'm about to drown myself mm-hmm. and I can't help you. We both about to go under. And I think, you know, as girlfriends, that's a responsibility that we have to each other to recognize when a bottle of wine just ain't going to do it. And when we need Absolutely. To say to our girlfriend, you need to get professional help, and don't judge her for it, and help her not to judge herself.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, and again, I wouldn't want to put my friend in that situation, you know, because
right.
your friend has to, that's the person that you're going to want to have a conversation with after you know, after you have had your little session, and you looking at her sideways, like, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you have to be careful about the zone that you put friends in, and you don't mm-hmm. put friends in professional zones.
Right.
And
that's a good way to say it.
Yeah. So it's a responsibility for you. It's also a responsibility for your friend to say, hey, I can't, you know, hey, girl, I'm with you, but let's pull out this laptop and let's figure out who, let's look at these therapists. Let's see who may be a good fit for you, because I can only go so far with you.
Right. And let me ride you to the therapist. Yeah, how about that?
How far with you now?
So, let's ride to the therapist together.
You gotta kind of, you have to be attuned into what you can and can't do, and try not to be a savior for all your friends either.
Oh gosh, yes.
You know, yes. You have to say, look, girl, I hear you. I'm with you. I'm with you when you're right. However, that's as far as I can go with it. You got to get somebody else in here that can help you,
yes.
You know, process this stuff. And so, right. You know, your friends, like I said, they're a good support system. And when you are the person who is being called on, you know, for things, because I know a lot of people say, well, you're the person that I come to when I have a problem. You know, are you the person that I come to when this is going on? But you also have to think about what that person has on their plate themselves.
Right. Right.
You know, we all have things. And sometimes, you know, you try to be there for someone, but you don't have anything to give because you're mm-hmm. going through your own stuff.
Right.
Like, I don't have anything I can give you. And, you know, hopefully, you know, friendships can be saved. But I know a lot of friendships who have broken up because I don't have the capacity to give you what you need.
Right.
And the other person can't accept that, oh, well, you didn't say anything when I told you, or you didn't do anything. Well, look, I'm over here. Look, I'm on a banana peel myself.
Right.
You know, I can't help you. You know, I'm working on my own stuff. I'm going through my own stuff. And so I think at that particular point, both people should step back and say, hey, mm-hmm. what am I really asking of this person?
Yeah. Because if you think about it, you know, you have been trained. I mean, you've taken courses. You have practiced literally. I mean, you are professionally trained to know how to, and I really, when you were talking about early on about how you are able to listen to people all day and then leave it at the office and go home. And that's because you're trained to do this.
Right.
And, you know, us girlfriends with our wine and vodka, you know, that's about all we could do. And we don't know how to, we're not equipped to be able to turn that off, and we internalize it. And then we feel bad. And then, you know, you just kind of begin this cycle of perpetuating the hurt and not really helping either of you to shed the hurt. And I think about too, you know, we mentioned this earlier about Jesus and mm-hmm. prayer and how we want to pray away mental illness or mental challenges. And I just want to put it out there and ask you, are preachers, are our pastors necessarily equipped to help us with our mental wellness? Yeah, they can pray for us, but are they really equipped to help us deal with the trauma and hurt that we need a healing from?
I think that pastors can be a wonderful resource. Most of the time, they're well respected in their congregations. I think they can be a wonderful resource. But when it comes to certain issues, I think that there's a referral that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that those clergymen that are in those positions should feel bad about that. You know, most people go to their pastor for the end all be all. Well, while he's very versed in what the Bible said, what you should and shouldn't do, he's not versed in DSM. You know what I'm saying? He's not versed in diagnosing you and getting you the treatment plan that you need to be better. So I think that there has to be a clear cut. But I do feel like more and more pastors are getting on board with mental health. And, you know, I get a lot of referrals from one particular pastor in our community. Like, he'll say, hey, you know, I've done about all I can do. And they start talking about some other stuff. You know, I'm going to give him your card. Because, and I think that that's the right thing to do. You know, and that's just like me as a provider. If you start talking about something that I'm not versed in, I have an ethical responsibility to send you to someone who can help you.
Yeah.
You know, and not to practice outside of my scope. So I think that pastors are getting a little bit better with that as time has gone on. But there definitely is this, you know, we're going to pray it away type of thing. Or you don't need medicine because, you know, that's a spirit. And you don't need this because this is happening. And, you know, sometimes you may not need medicine, but you don't know if you need it or not until you go get assessed for it. You know, so while we can still have, and another thing with that is the two can coexist. You can be a Christian and still feel like you need to go to therapy and talk about things. Everything is not that this person is possessed by the demons, by the devil. You know, everything is not a spirit on you. Some things are chemical imbalances. And you need to have that corrected. Just like if you had diabetes, just like if you had high blood pressure, there are also people that have chemical imbalances in their brain. And they need medication to balance the chemical imbalance. Because I wouldn't tell, or, you know, a pastor wouldn't tell someone, I would hope that they wouldn't tell someone who's on high blood pressure medicine, you know, don't take your medicine. We just going to pray that out of you. We're going to pray the high blood pressure out of you. Don't take the medicine.
Right. And I think, you know, as a believer too, we have to embrace that, you know, God gives us people and professionals to help us. Just like I hope that we are not thinking that the physicians in our lives are demons or spirits or something not godly, that we would not think that someone who is trained to help our mental health is not in line with what God has for us. And we have to avail ourselves of the tools and the people and the resources that he sends us. And sometimes he answers our prayers by sending us someone who can help us rather than us feeling like we have to do everything by and for ourselves. So I just hope
There's several instances in the Bible where prayers have been answered through other people delivering people. Several instances. So, you know, we just have to be diligent. And I think that that requires the professionals in the room to do what they're supposed to do and do no harm. Whether that's a pastor or a doctor, a therapist, whoever, you know, you should not be doing harm to anyone who's coming to you for help.
Right. And, you know, of course, we could talk about this all day and because this is such a beautiful topic, I believe. I think it is beautiful when we openly talk about our mental wellness. And I think the more that we do that, the more we embrace this as something that's normal and not something that's only for those who are crazy or something's wrong with them or they're possessed, but just a healthy part of who we are and helping us to be the best and highest version of ourselves. So before we close it out today, I just wanted to talk about, you know, how mental illness blocks, I believe, our ability to be fulfilled when our minds are just bogged down with burdens of trauma and drama and unhealed hurt, you know, because I don't think you can really, I know from my personal experience, you can't really enjoy life when your mind is all messed up, you know, because we need peace and we need clarity. So if you were talking to a girlfriend about, you know, desiring to be fulfilled, and by the way, fulfillment is a commitment to bringing the desires of your heart to completion. And how we do that happens in a unique way for each of us, but it's that commitment to finding peace and finding clarity and bringing the things that we desire in our hearts to reality. You know, how does, or how have you seen rather, mental illness or just the challenges of being mentally well, keeping your clients from getting to their version of fulfillment?
Ooh. How do I help them get to their version of fulfillment?
Or just kind of how have you seen it blocking it? You know, because what I hope is that listeners take away from this, you know, the realization and appreciation that their mental wellness is a piece of getting to their fulfillment. And, you know, how does it block you from getting there?
Vulnerability. Willingness to do the work on yourself. Willingness to let go of things that no longer serve you. So those are some of the ones that I have come in contact with that seem to happen more often than others. Just allowing yourself to be vulnerable, which again is very scary, especially when you're coming from a background of trauma. Sometimes you want to, you know, that wall is your protection. So you're asking me to let go of the only thing that I have to protect myself. That's a big ask of someone who has been hurt over and over again. Letting go of stuff that no longer serves you. Ooh, we could probably talk
about child. And seriously, that's a whole, I literally have a whole session planned on relieving yourself of the things that do not serve you.
I think that, you know, we all hold on to things much longer than we should. We don't allow ourselves, fear is a huge reason why we do that. And we don't allow ourselves the opportunity to live in the fulfillment because we won't let go of what's holding us back. You know, and because you've done something for so long, you've been with somebody for so long, it works. It looks good on social media. It's the right thing to do. We got kids. All of that stuff comes into play, but it also hurts. It destroys who you are as a person. And if you cannot live in your own fulfillment, you can't live, you know, as Cardi said, your best life, then you can't help your kids live their best life. You can't help your sister. You can't help your mom or your brother, your friend, your girlfriends. You cannot help someone else until you allow yourself to be helped.
Oh, girl, you said a word right there. And, you know, as we share our takeaways, that's one takeaway that I hope all y'all get. Having mental wellness is how you help somebody else. You cannot give your best to other people if you are not feeling your best, if your mind is not at its best. So if you really want to break generational curses, you know, we hit it all the time. If you really want to bring about generational healing, child, it's got to start with you. Look yourself in the mirror and get yourself in check. So with that, I'd love for you to share. We've talked about some really great things throughout this conversation. And like I said, we could go on and on and on, but you know, we don't have all the time in the world. But if you could just share one thing to a woman who's listening about how to get her mind snatched and tight and how important it is, what would be your one thing that you would want her to remember?
That you only get to do this one time.
There you go. There you go.
You only get to show up in this lifetime as you are who you are one time. There are no do-overs. This, you know, there is no stop, rewind, let me record over that. You only get to do this one time. Do the best that you can with your mental health, with who you are as a person, just being a good human being. You only get to do it once. You don't get do-overs. So I think that when we're going through things and when we're going through life, we forget because we're so consumed with pain, with anguish, with bitterness, that we forget that we only get to do this one time.
Girl, that's why I say life is too long.
If that means taking a chance, if that means living your life in the end until you can get it figured out, you gotta do that.
Yes.
You only get to do it once.
Right.
And so, yeah, there may be mistakes, there may be things that happen, but guess what? You did it.
You did it.
You did it. And so I think this way, and what I tell a lot, I do have a lot of women who are going through phase of life issues. I always tell them, you know, do everything that you wanted to do. And when you take your last breath, there are no unfulfilled desires.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I will tell you the amount of money that I have spent creating new businesses, creating new stuff, trying to figure things out. And because you have to go through to get through. Everything is not going to be wonderful. You know,
you can't
get to the end of the road and have had, you know, these golden shoes on that don't have any dirt on them. You know, so you want to leave here in a peaceful space. You want to be one of those people who, when they close their eyes, they say, I'm ready. You know, I've lived my life. I've done everything that I wanted to do. And far too often we see people say, I need a little bit more time.
Mm-mm. You don't have it. Or you don't know if you will or won't.
Right.
I need do it being
more,
now.
I need a little more time. If I had more time. If. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked about that word, if. If I had a little more time. If I had done something differently. If I had, you know. And so you don't want to live your life in the and you definitely don't want to live it in the if.
Right. That's right. That is right.
You want to say and, comma.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. You don't want to put a period there. You don't want to put a period where there should be a comma.
Right. Right. You know, that is just so important to remember. You know, we only get one chance at life. So take chances to make it the best life that you can.
Absolutely.
And I would say my one thing that I would want women to remember is you can't see the picture if you're in the frame. You can't see the picture if you're in the frame. And sometimes we have normalized trauma and hurt and abuse so much, we don't even recognize that we're hurting. We don't recognize
let me take a sip while you're saying that.
Yes. So because you can't see that, a therapist can help you to see that. And most importantly, help you do something about it. So just remember, you can't see the picture when you're in the frame.
Absolutely.
And you know, a therapist, a trained therapist helps you to see your life clearly so that you can live your life fully. We're going to drink on that. I'm going to take a sip on that myself.
Comfortable. If I could tell you the amount of people who are comfortable in chaos and dysfunction, if something good happened, they can't even accept the good because it doesn't come along with chaos and dysfunction. I don't know how to be, you know, I have a client that she says, you know, I went on a date with a guy and he opened my door and he, you know, did all this. And I wanted to ask him, you know, what's wrong with him? And I'm like, but those are all not supposed to be doing. Like, you know, comfortable in dysfunction and chaos and someone treating you bad. That when someone comes along and they're treating you good, and this can be in relationships, it can be in friendships. It can be in jobs, whatever. You can be so comfortable in that dysfunction that when the real thing comes along, you can't recognize it.
Right.
Fight against it because it doesn't feel like what you're used to. Because what you're used to is dysfunction.
Right. Right. Because we have to believe that we deserve to live a good life.
Yep.
And we have to believe that we deserve people being good to us. And we have to believe that we deserve people being as good to us as we are to others.
And we deserve to be good to ourselves.
Damn right. Yes, ma'am.
You know,
yes, ma'am. We deserve to be good to ourselves.
Being good to yourself. And sometimes that means going to therapy, cutting people off, doing what you need to do. Like, don't apologize for doing the best thing that you have to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And that can mean family members, whoever.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to see how we can be conditioned to believe that dysfunction is the right thing.
And it's not. And it's not. And it stops with us. So with that, we'll stop here. Because like I say, this is such a beautiful topic. And I love to use, I'm using the word beautiful intentionally. Because the peace of mind that comes from investing your time in good therapy is truly beautiful. And we all deserve that. So as always, Jocelyn, this has been a great conversation. As always, girl, I don't want to see you go. I want to keep going. But, you know, we got to end this thing. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for living your version of life in the end. And most of all, girl, thank you for keeping it real.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. All right. So for those of you who are listening, of course, thank you so much for living life in the end with me. I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate you listening. And remember, as always, I want you to feel something. I want you to learn something. But most of all, I want you to do something. So thank you for joining me for another installation of Conversations, Libations, and Revelations. Here's to keeping it real. Hey, this is your girl, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Living Life in the End for the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I hope you learned something, felt something, but most of all, girl, I hope you are ready to do something. Please be sure to let me know what you got out of this episode. Please subscribe so that you don't miss out on another great conversation. And of course, I'd love it if you would give us a rating and review and let me know how you are living life in the end. Because remember, life is too long to live unfulfilled. Your life is the product of your choices. Choose to commit to bringing the desires of your heart to completion. Let's get everything we deserve. Girl, let's get it.